Lounge, 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. British rocker Ozzy Osbourne, the frontman for the heavy metal band Black Sabbath, has died. His family announced his death, saying he passed away surrounded by family. Osbourne was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease in 2019. Ozzy Osbourne was 76. Attorney General Todd Blanche says he plans to meet with Ghislaine Maxwell in prison about the Jeffrey Epstein case. Maxwell is Epstein's ex-girlfriend and co-conspirator convicted of sex trafficking. It comes amid a push for the full release of the Epstein files and for Maxwell to be deposed. Here's ABC's Jay O'Brien.
I've also spoken with some Republicans who have said, look, they're not going to forget about this and they're not going to move on. Thomas Massey has said he's going to continue to work with Democrats and a handful of Republicans on legislation that would force the release of Epstein-related records that the Department of Justice has. The earliest that he could probably force that vote to release those records would be after Congress goes out on recess in August.
This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin will join another multi-state coalition in a lawsuit against actions taken by the Trump administration. The new lawsuit seeks to halt efforts to impose new restrictions on essential health, education, and social service programs. The lawsuit argues that the additional restrictions put access to community services like Head Start, adult education, and community health centers at risk. The coalition is asking a federal court to declare the new rules unlawful and halt their implementation through injunctions. Governor Tony Evers has declared this week as Aviation Week in Wisconsin in honor of the Experimental Aircraft Association Air Venture event in Oshkosh. EAA Air Venture is one of the world's largest air shows and draws hundreds of thousands of people from across the state and greater Midwest region. Officials say around 686,000 people attended Air Venture in 2024, bringing a significant economic impact to the region. The yearly event features thousands of aircrafts, including aerobatic performances, pyrotechnics, and more. The Minnesota Nurses Association at Ascensia Health in Duluth officially announced the end of their strike in a press conference outside the Ascensia Health St. Mary's facility on Tuesday. The strike began about 2 weeks ago, following months of negotiations between the nurses union and the healthcare organization. Minnesota Nurses Association organizers say their decision to go on strike was based on unfair labor practices, including chronic understaffing and the failure of the healthcare organization to take their input on patient care needs into consideration. The Burnett County Sheriff's Department says a 10-year-old girl was killed after being hit by a vehicle in Wood River Township. According to a press release, the 10-year-old was a pedestrian in the Burnett Dairy Cooperative parking lot when she was struck by a vehicle being driven by an 85-year-old Grantsburg man. She was airlifted to a Twin Cities hospital following the crash, where she was pronounced deceased at the hospital. The circumstances of the crash remain under investigation, but law enforcement authorities say it appears to be accidental. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Football starts tomorrow. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NFL, Packers training camp beginning tomorrow morning at 10:30 with the first of 11 practices open to the public, 3 preseason games, followed by the 17-game regular season schedule. The Packers signing right tackle Zach Tom to a 4-year deal, including a signing bonus of over $30 million, the most ever for an offensive lineman. NBA, Chris Paul will join the LA Clippers and Brooke Lopez. The Bucks had shown interest in Paul earlier this summer. Baseball, the Brewers and Mariners again tonight in Seattle. The Brewers with a 6-0 win over the Mariners last night, their 11th win in a row. How did they go from fourth place to right now the best record in baseball?
I think you got to understand that this is a bunch of people that, you know, have gotten to this point and just kept clawing away. You know, they're hungry. I'm really, really proud of them, but we got work to do to improve in every area we can. But we can at least feel like we're capable.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly sunny and getting warm and muggy today. High temperatures tapping the upper 80s and really with the heat index feeling more like the mid-90s. Then tonight, overnight, showers and thunderstorms roll through, continuing through our morning. We'll stay mostly cloudy tomorrow, with highs feeling more like 105 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
It's 80 degrees at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
We've got Chris from Nina. What's your thought this afternoon, Chris?
Oftentimes you have only one set of viewers that will watch Fox News or watch CNN. What I really actually love and respect from all your viewers is the fact that you tend to have viewers that think on both sides of the aisle. To be open-minded, you need to be willing to listen and learn and possibly change your mind. You don't have to change your mind, but just being willing to listen.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I imagine we'll talk about Superman. It's the same thing I said about F1. It's a great video. The music is great. The action's great. The CGI is great. I don't feel like they had to really develop the characters. It was fine.
I thought they did a really good job of showing Superman's, you know, humility.
I agree with you there. One of my positives, it wasn't 2 hours and 40 minutes like every other blockbuster movie this summer, but lots to like there.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwalbe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Jordan Leon and Amy Mazzariello, owners of the Lion's Mouth Bookstore in Green Bay. Then Green Bay comedian Kristen Leidy joins the show. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
From the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer on the board. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, July 22nd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome into the world headquarters of Civic Media, downtown Madison on State Street. Some overcast skies, Zommers. Yesterday was the perfect day, according to Zommers, for Zommers weather. It was warm, but not sticky. He was very happy. But today's hours, the sultriness, the stickiness, the humidity is back. And our forecasters are saying some parts of the state may have some heavier weather later tonight and tomorrow.
Yeah, it is unfortunately sticky.
he's a little depressed because of the weather. So we'll continue to follow that, bring you the latest on that. Big show today. Hope you stick around at the bottom of the hour. Really important story from our friends, our partners over at WisconsinWatch.org. Sarijita Patra was going to be here live in the studio talking about her new article entitled Older Adults Making Up 1 in 5 Suicides in Wisconsin. And here's what can be done to fix that. So Sarijita Patra is going to be here from Wisconsin Watch. We'll have an important discussion on death by suicide and how that's affecting older folks, or at least people of a certain age in the state of Wisconsin. Then at hour two, lighten it up just a bit with our What's Worse Today. It's a syrupy edition. Or syrupy, I say syrup, some people say syrup, of pancakes or waffles. What's worse in hour number two? And some Wisconsin news to get to from our very own Lisa Hale from our great station WGBW and WISS from Civic Media. The ACLU shines light on ICE detentions in Brown County. All that and more straight ahead, but right now at 8 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock, we have breaking news for you across Civic Media.
How many times can they fill me with lies that I listen again? Twisting the truth and they're playing around with my head.
That is Ozzy Osbourne with You Can't Kill Rock and Roll. And breaking across the wires just as we came on the air here at the top of the hour from CBS News. Ozzy Osbourne, the heavy metal legend who rose to fame in the pioneering group Black Sabbath, has died. His family said in a statement to CBS News partner BBC News, Ozzy Osbourne was 76. Quote, it is with more sadness than mere words can convey that we have to report that our beloved Ozzy Osbourne has passed away this morning. The family said in a statement to the BBC, quote, he was with his family and surrounded by love. We ask everyone to respect our family privacy at this time. unquote. Either clad in black or bare-chested, the singer was often the target of parents groups for his imagery and once caused an uproar for biting the head off of a bat. Later, he would reveal himself to be a doting and sweet father on the reality TV show The Osbournes. Black Sabbath's 1969 self-titled debut LP has been likened to the Big Bang of heavy metal. It came during the height of the Vietnam War and crashed the hippie party, dripping menace and foreboding. The cover of the record was a spooky figure against a stark landscape. The music was loud, dense, and angry, and marked a shift in rock and roll. Ozzy Osbourne, dead at 76, and joining us via phone from his home station at WRCE in Richland Center. We appreciate him on short notice. He is the general manager of WRCE, longtime friend of mine, my former boss, and now my colleague again here at Civic Media, and the host of Those Were the Days, looking back at some of this great music every Saturday night from 6 until midnight. Phil Nee joins us via phone. Phil, thanks for taking time to join us on a sad day for a lot of people here across the country when it comes to heavy metal.
Farewell to the Prince of Darkness, very influential artist, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And as someone who's a student of music and you know the history of rock and roll so much, I think in this CBS article here, it really hits on something that when Black Sabbath, you know, came on the scene in 1969, it really did kind of shift. You know, you talk about this on your program on Saturday night. You know, you think of the 50s and the 60s, you know, it's happy, it's you know, bobbed hair and suits and doing the twist. But then in the late 60s, early 70s, music really changed, and Black Sabbath and Ozzy were a part of that.
Absolutely, yeah, they pushed the limit, that's for sure, and I keep going back to the song Paranoid as I was waiting to join you on the show, but one of my all-time favorites. You know, sometimes you get really sick of hearing a song over and over. I never get sick of that one, and I think of that one as being very influential into the punk and heavy metal artists that came after Black Sabbath, but that record in 1970, I think, is one of the most influential of all of their tunes.
Yeah, absolutely, and again, this CBS story, and I kind of forgot this part, I guess, you know, Sabbath fired Osbourne in 79 for his legendary excesses, like showing up late for rehearsal and missing gigs. I can relate occasionally to part of that. But then he reemerged next year with the solo artist with Blizzard of Oz was the album. The following year's Diary of Madame, both hard rock classics that went multi-platinum and spawned enduring favorites such as Crazy Train, Goodbye to Romance, Flying High, and the song we just played, Zomers pulled that up there, You Can't Kill Rock and Roll. Phil, talk a little bit, as a student of artists and music history, isn't it always fascinating when an artist can go away from a group and reemerge with a solo career? Some people can do it, some people can't. Ozzy Osbourne did it in spades.
He really did, and he talked about reinventing himself, so many generations have learned about him since that time, and you talked about him kind of getting thrown out of the band and then, you know, reemerging, and Blizzard of Oz was a huge record there in the 1980s, and then later on, you know, teaming with Lita Ford in a song that maybe is the title is appropriate for today, Close My Eyes Forever, and the tunes in the early 90s, and then, of course, the Osbournes TV show. Some of that success, I think, has to go to his wife, Sharon, who was a big promoter and manager of him.
100%. And it's fascinating you say it, because I was just going to say, I mean, you know, and we're getting to a certain age, Phil. I hate to admit it. But, you know, there are a lot of younger people that are like, the only reason I know Ozzy Osbourne is because I used to watch him on the Osbournes on TV. And it's like, this guy is just a docile old man. They have no concept of his rock career.
Absolutely. And, you know, his talking was inaudible, it seemed, on that show.
Yeah.
And then he could get up and sing. You know, I never kind of figured that one out. But amazing front man, that's for sure. I honestly, you know, I've interviewed a lot of rock people over the years. I was trying to think how close I ever came to interviewing Ozzy. Not very close, but this is as close as I came. So Randy Rhoads was his guitarist for a time.
Really?
Randy Rhoads was a founding member of Quiet Riot. And I interviewed Quiet Riot once. So there you go.
Hey, there you go. That's awesome. Terry Barr, watching on YouTube. Of course, she's one of the co-hosts of our other Saturday night program, Max Inc. Radio, which can be heard on WMDX here in Madison. And like Phil's Those Are the Days, both these programs can be heard on the Civic Media app as well. Terry chiming in on YouTube saying, it always felt as if Ozzy would live forever. And Phil, isn't that, I mean, how many times when we worked together at RCO, you always used to say the worst part is when CBS or ABC News came on and they started it with music because nothing good was going to follow that.
That's absolutely right. I remember where I was in 1977 when they started with Hound Dog and the death of Elvis Presley was announced. So, yeah, it never seems like anything good comes from that. But this is certainly big news, and I'm already getting texts from listeners that are saying, hey, are you doing a tribute to Ozzy this Saturday night?
Mm. Well, are you feeling it? It just happened, so we don't know.
I'm guessing we'll be playing some, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. CBS, in their story today, moments ago, says at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony just last year, Jack Black called Ozzy Osbourne, quote, the greatest frontman in the history of rock and roll, and, quote, the Jack Nicholson of rock, unquote. Wow, I think that's pretty well said. I am really glad, Phil, that Osbourne was able to live long enough to see himself inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because, as you well know, a lot of these rock stars don't.
Absolutely. I mean, there are ones we've been losing them left and right. It's been a bad year for music. And Connie Francis passed away over the weekend. She is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Gained fame from a video that was shared online many millions of times this year. So people know her from that. But she's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Maybe someday, but never lived long enough to see that.
Any final thoughts on the passing of Ozzy Osbourne today at the age of 87?
No, other than the fact that I'm going to hear a lot more of his music, that's for sure, coming up here because, a lot of these songs are going to come back. Look for him to chart again,
right.
People will be downloading him left and right.
Yeah, and thanks, Somers. Ozzy Osbourne, 76 was the correct age. He passed away this morning, according to his family, in a statement via BBC News. So certainly a big passing in the music world of Ozzy Osbourne today. Phil, as long as we got you on the phone, a couple of minutes left. I know big events happening at WRCE, WRCO in Richland Center. Tell us about it.
Right, we're going to have our Walk with Grace auction, Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. That's an event coming up next week on the radio. We're going to be auctioning off everything from lawnmowers to homemade farm-baked pies, and they always go really well, but we'll be doing that between 10 and noon next Monday through Friday on WRCO and WRCO.com. But all the money goes back to the community for local cancer patients going for treatments and appointments, and also we even pay power bills and phone bills and everything else for people in need that are going through a cancer journey.
Well, people ask me, because I talk about my hometown Richland Center all the time on this show, and people will say, why are you always talking about Richland Center? And this is just a great example, Phil, because I was blessed and fortunate enough to grow up in a community like Richland Center, where we Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach and I just did our shows up in Butternut last week. And one of our hosts, a local artist, said, in Butternut, when somebody gets sick or needs something, you better come with a casserole in one hand and a wad of cash in the other, and nobody asks stupid questions like, what happened? We just take care of each other, and I would say Richland Center is very much the same way.
Absolutely, and it's not a high-income county. I mean, you can look that up, but we were able to raise last year around $300,000 for the Grace event through the entire year, including the event, which is coming up this year on August 8th. But again, that radio auction, a small part of it, going on next Monday through Friday.
And if people aren't in the Richland Center listening area for WRCO or RCE, they can still get involved by listening to the Civic Media app. Just go on the line, download the app for free, go to WRCO, and you can listen and bid in on all those great things. I know that your wonderful wife, June, is a former a chairperson, a cancer survivor herself, so I know this means a lot to your family personally.
Absolutely, yeah. She is the chair of the actual walk itself on the 8th of August, so she's in charge of putting it all together. But it's been a pet project for us here at the radio station the last many years.
One of my favorite interviews recently, the last few years, is when Phil gets to interview his wife, June, and then going back and forth in the morning show. That's always a lot of fun because it's a great dynamic for a great cause. And here's a little hint. If you're going to buy a pie for Phil, don't get one with raisins. He's not a raisin guy.
No, absolutely not. But we'll have apple, we'll have pecan, we'll have coconut cream, all kinds of them. And sometimes they've gone as high as like $300 or $400 for one pie.
incredible. It's a great event for a great cause. You guys, RCO, RCE, do a great job. Congrats to the great community. We're going to do one of our shows up there as well and talk more about it. Phil, thanks for taking time to talk about Ozzy Osbourne's passing and to talk about Walk with Grace. Have a great day up there, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon, buddy.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Always a pleasure. Phil Nee, everybody, from WRCE, WRCO up there in the old hometown of Richland Center. Always appreciate Phil stopping by. Come on back. We'll talk a little about what's happening in Brown County next with ICE detentions. And then at the bottom of the hour, just slightly thereafter, Wisconsin Watch on an important story on death by suicide in older communities in Wisconsin. It's the All Ball Show for a Tuesday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Hear every Brewer game all season long right here on WBZH.
Swing and a bouncer hit the third. Double play ball. Ortiz for Terang for one. The first, a double play.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH. The Buzz of the North.
Swing and a fly ball. Right center field. It is up. It is gone. Off the top of the wall and out of here.
Milwaukee Brewer Baseball on 96.9 WBZH. The Buzz of the North.
This is the story of the one. As a lineman, he does whatever it takes to keep the power on in his community. And he wants a partner like Grainger who does the same. Grainger offers the professional-grade products he needs, from voltage detectors to harnesses to hard hats, plus fast, dependable delivery, so he can rise to every challenge. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our partners like your local county veteran service officer, we can help access the benefits you've earned and the support you need. For more information, please visit WISVETS.com. That's WISVETS.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
The Dollar Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 22 now past the hour of 2 o'clock. Glad to have you along on this July 22nd. More Ozzy there. Nicely done, Mr. Zommers. Again, breaking news headline at this hour. The great Ozzy Osbourne, the heavy metal legend, has passed away according to his family. He was 76 years old. Many thanks to Phil Nee for joining us in our last segment, talking a little bit about the remembrances of Ozzy Osbourne. Want to get to this before the bottom of the hour from our very own Lisa Hale of Civic Media and our great stations in Green Bay, WGBW and WISS in Oshkosh. The ACLU of Wisconsin says at least 3 Wisconsin County Sheriff's offices have made recent deals with ICE to house and transport people who have been detained for alleged being undocumented in the state. The contract has a value of $90,000. According to Lisa Hale's reporting, included in the agreement, ICE is purchasing $63,000 in detention services from the Brown County Sheriff, which are reimbursed at the rate of $70 per detainee per day, an increase of $27,000 in transportation services for escort and stationary guard rates, which are reimbursed at $36 per hour. The ACLU also names Sauk and Ozaukee counties as working with ICE. Quote, these new agreements in Brown, Ozaukee, and Sauk County underscore a concerning trend. Local sheriffs are not only passively complying with ICE requests, but actively entering into and benefiting from direct financial agreements to house and transport immigrants for ICE removal, unquote, according to ACLU of Wisconsin senior staff attorney Tim Muth. Muth went on to say, quote, we may see more of these arrangements to house detained immigrants in county facilities in the near future, as the recently signed federal budget bill assigns billions of dollars to ICE for funding efforts with local law enforcement, unquote. These three counties are the latest Wisconsin counties to work with ICE. Others, including Winnebago County, have been highlighted by the ACLU in the past. I want to bring this up, and again, great reporting by our own Lisa Hale out of Green Bay. I haven't seen this anyplace else. I haven't seen it talked about anyplace else. But this is really important for a couple of reasons. And this is why, when you look at the federal budget, we ask, well, how does this impact Wisconsin? The major money that's been put into ICE in this latest budget by Republicans and signed into law by Trump a couple of weeks ago, billions of dollars for ICE. Now, you look at places in Wisconsin, one of the under-talked about things in this state are the challenges local governments, local county governments have in paying for stuff. I mean, we just talked to Phil in Richland County, where I'm from, one of the poorest counties economically in the state. Recently, Sauk County, and we need to follow up on this on me, but they were looking at, maybe they already have, closing down their county nursing home because they don't have money. And Sauk County, let me tell you, is not a poor county. It's right below the Dells, Baraboo, Reedsburg, those areas. My point is that as local governments are strapped for cash, they're looking at this, and they're going to say, well, we can either raise the mill rate, we can raise property taxes, we can pass these expenses on to our county residents, or wait a minute. If our sheriff just agrees to comply with Trump and go along with these ICE detentions, we can get cold, hard cash. So in this case, Brown County, $90,000. Now, Brown County, where Green Bay is at, it's not nothing, but $90,000 for a more rural county, that's a lot of cash. And so what you may see moving forward is your local sheriff, your local county board, trying to make deals with the feds to house and participate in these detentions of alleged undocumented folks simply for the transactional purpose of cash. Remember, with Trump, nearly everything is transactional. So I would urge everybody across Wisconsin to contact your local county board member and question them on this. Do you intend to support, if, you know, number one, is the sheriff thinking about doing this? And number two, do you support this? Because all this is going to do, and remember, we've talked about this on this program some, but it gets so overwhelming that I don't bring it to you every single day. But nearly every day I see a story, I read a story, I watch a story where American citizens who happen to be brown-skinned are detained and held and in some cases deported. American citizens. Do you really want your county to be involved in that? Do you really want your sheriff's deputies to be involved in that? And let me say, as I often do, I'm a huge supporter of law enforcement. They put their lives on the line for us every day. This is not a knock on law enforcement in general, but whether it's broadcasters or grocery shop owners or law, there's always going to be a bad apple in the bunch. And some of these folks could be looking at this and saying, I really need cash in my department or our county. So let's make a deal with Trump and take this cash and be an ICE detention center and participate in this crap because we need the money. It's really dangerous. And again, in the long-term effect, if your county participates in this, I'm telling you right now, folks that happen to be Latino or Hispanic are not going to want to live there because they're going to feel unsafe. And you can say, well, if they're documented, if they're legal, they shouldn't have anything to fear. The evidence proves otherwise because American citizens are being detained. Great reporting by Lisa Hale at WGBW. You can find the story at civicmedia.us. Come on back. We're going to talk to Wisconsin Watch after this really important topic. Older Wisconsinites are 1 in 5 are facing death by suicide. We'll talk about it on the other side. Pam Yonke is next on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Well, it's a few more weeks before the school bell rings in Wisconsin, but we're facing a challenge with agriculture education. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. Details on how that's being addressed next.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most, your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Cheryl Zimmerman is the executive director of the Wisconsin FFA Association, and she says right now many school districts across the state are scampering, trying to find agriculture educators to fill vacancies.
What we're finding is this. We have ag programs that are adding more teachers. So now we have several programs that have 3, 4, and 5 ag teachers. We're adding programs. And so we're also going into the virtual dimension of FFA. We started our first virtual program in McFarland with Destinations Career Academy. We're going to be chartering our second one now with iForward out of Grantsburg, Wisconsin. And so that's kind of a new dimension. But, there are opportunities to be an educator for agriculture, and we've still got some openings before the school year starts.
Cheryl Zimmerman, executive director of the Wisconsin FFA Association, she says Wisconsin is not alone when it comes to the challenges of trying to fill these agriculture education vacancies. She said it's something that's occurring nationwide.
They say seeing is believing, and nothing catches the eye like the 7 bushel per acre yield advantage of Veltima fungicide over other fungicides. But don't just take our word for it. See it for yourself. Run a comparison of Veltima fungicide. Enter the Real Results Yield Challenge and experience the difference it makes in your fields. And when you share your experience with us, you'll get a chance to win a 2-year lease on a new truck. Sign up at yieldchallenge.basf.us. No purchase necessary. See official rules for details. Always read and follow label directions.
And Wisconsin crops have been capitalizing on the warm weather we've had over the past few weeks. The latest update from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service shows as of Sunday, 79% of our corn crop in Wisconsin was rated good to excellent. We also have about 75% of our soybeans currently rated good to excellent. Winter wheat, 72% of that crop called good to excellent, and 14% of that wheat has already been harvested. 3% of our potato crop also already harvested. That's just a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Tuesday. More anytime at MidwestFarmReport.com. Sign up for our daily e-newsletter. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Partly sunny and getting warm and muggy today. High temperatures tapping the upper 80s and really with the heat index feeling more like the mid-90s. Then tonight, overnight, showers and thunderstorms roll through, continuing through our morning. We'll stay mostly cloudy tomorrow, with highs feeling more like 105 degrees. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 78 degrees.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
I've been trying to learn sheepshead for 40 years. My father-in-law is still a card counter, knows what everybody has. It is so easy to go, oh gosh, I still don't know who the partner is, and is that a trump card or is it not? And so I'm still asking myself all these questions while they're busy taking all of my nickels. The one thing that got me where they allow me to play is getting the app. For all the technology that's out there, that is one of the positive notes.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Maggie Dawn.
At 5 o'clock, I'm joined by State Senator Kristen Dasler-Alfheim. We talk biennial budget, the uncertainty over Governor Evers' second run, and how progressives and Democrats move forward in unity here in Wisconsin. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Welcome back to the Cottle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes now past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Tuesday, July 22nd. Glad to have you along. Turning our attention to one of our great partners. Always happy to have their reporters on our show, Wisconsin Watch. You can find all the work at wisconsinwatch.org. And welcome one of their young reporters here. Always love young journalistic talent. Sarjita Patra is here from Wisconsin Watch. And Sarjita, really, really appreciate you being here. An important story. I didn't realize this until I read and saw your article. Headline, older adults make up 1 in 5 suicides in Wisconsin. And here's what can be done to fix that. So really appreciate you coming over and going to talk about this in a minute. But as we always do, as we have a person who's never been on the show before, tell us a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and how you got into journalism.
Hi. Well, first off, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate
it. Our pleasure.
My name is Srijita, and I am from Connecticut. I was actually born in New Bedford, Massachusetts. Nice. So I'm a Northeast gal. Except I lived in Houston for a little bit.
Oh, really? Okay,
yes, right. Sir. Yeah. And then I came to UW they had really nice programs, and I was going to go in-state, but I got a little bit of a scholarship and stuff like that, so I was excited to come here. And I didn't think I was going to go into journalism. I mean, I was undecided, and, well, I knew it wasn't exactly a game of kings, per se, but... I joined the school paper, the Daily Cardinal, which does amazing work, of course,
absolutely,
along with all the other student papers in Madison and Milwaukee and Wisconsin. And I really just loved the work I was doing, and it felt very impactful to be there in a way I just didn't expect. You know, I kind of thought it'd be more extracurricular. And I'd always loved writing and reporting and talking to people. And so that eventually I kind of came to that decision where I told my parents, I was like, you know, I think I am going to go into journalism. And, you know, they were a little wary at first, but it's taken hold. And, you know, I think they're more behind it now. Yeah.
Well, and I assume I don't have kids myself. I have a couple of godsons, but I'm sure for parents, particularly in today's world where journalists are getting figuratively and unfortunately occasionally sometimes literally beat up, is not something that I don't think it's necessarily, it used to be, oh, I'm going to journalism, and I think a lot of people are like instantly, oh, that's super cool, you'll be respected. And I'm sure for a parent there's a little bit of apprehension, but I also think whether it's we've had other reporters on the Daily Cardinal, but like Daily Cardinal, Badger Herald, Wisconsin Watch, journalism is critically important, perhaps now in our country more than ever.
Absolutely. And they knew that. And they're so reasonable. I think it just boiled down to, you know, they wanted to make sure I was doing something that would make me happy and also, you know, put money in my pockets, which I guess we're yet to see. But they're fully behind me now, 100%.
Going into your junior year at UW?
Yes.
That's fantastic. Always great to have a Badger here in the in the studio. Madison, different than the East Coast?
Yes.
In a good way, a bad way, both?
I've noticed a lot of cultural differences in coming here. I mean, people talk similarly, I would think. I don't really hear like a Madison accent that much, you know, or a Wisconsin accent for the most part.
Right.
But, you know, the culture, I mean, people walk slower, talk slower. You know, I think in the East Coast, we're probably a little meaner. And, you
really?
Know, Midwest nice is a real thing.
Okay.
You know, we're more sarcastic, you know. Maybe more witty, but I don't want to say that to hurt anyone. No. And then But I really love it here. I mean, Madison is beautiful and Wisconsin is beautiful as well. And it's just been amazing to see a part of the country. I mean, I've only been south and east, so to see a part of the country I hadn't really ever explored before.
Well, welcome. Really, really glad to have you here. Glad that you're at. So how did, very quickly, how did you get involved with Wisconsin Watch then?
My former managing editor, Ava Menkes, was just shout out to her. She's an amazing reporter, but managing editor for the Daily Cardinal. She was part of it, and she told me, like, yeah, they take interns during the summer, and so you should apply. And so I applied as part of my internship cycle applications. And I got accepted.
Well, that's awesome. We have Srijita Patra from Wisconsin Watch here. Let's get into this story that you wrote. You can find Srijita's work at wisconsinwatch.org. That's wisconsinwatch.org. Again, you let's start this off and we'll finish it the same way. If you or someone that you know is thinking of self-harm or needs to talk to someone, you can reach out via the Suicide and Crisis Hotline by dialing or texting 988 on your landline or cell phone, 988. I think that's really important to pass along. This and this right away in this story, you start out with nationwide adults over 65 have some of the highest suicide rates by age group, though they are among the least likely to receive mental health support. Talk to us a little bit about this because, and appropriately so, we've talked on this show about teens for various reasons facing a high death by suicide rate, but I did not know that this was a major crisis for folks over 65.
Yeah, honestly, I mean, nobody did. Like, genuinely, when I first started reporting, like, anyone I talked to, like, do you have any sources? Like, have you looked into this issue? Legislators, journalists, people didn't really know what I was speaking to, but yeah, I mean, adults over 65, but especially 75 and 85, have very high suicide rates. And I don't know if you want me to get into the reasons, but you know, there's a lot of isolation and loneliness, which of course, as human beings, we feel a lot of us nowadays in this society. But what happens when you're elderly, and I'm very young, so I don't want to make any assumptions. There's this sort of feeling that, you know, time has like left you by. And, you know, you're less in contact for physical reasons, for just, like, logistics with usually, like, your close family members or friends. A lot of people from your childhood are passing away, your mom, your father. And there's, especially in rural areas, there's sort of just less and less of that community connections for folks above 65, 75 with major issues affecting their mobility. And so that, yeah, that leads to very reasonable isolation and depression that often ends them in taking their own lives.
And I think when we think of older folks in our communities, well, you know, they've seen it all. They're tough birds. They can get through it. But I think we forget a little bit that everyone has a heart, a soul, and feelings can still get hurt. You can still be lonely. And that gets overwhelming. You write your story here. They made up people over 65, made up 20%. Of all suicide deaths in Wisconsin between 2018 and 2023. But in 2023, only 3,142 older people used county mental health services, down from a peak of nearly 4,000 who used them in 2018. Through your reporting, is that because people don't know about them? Is it because of cuts to these services? Any reason that you can point to for that?
Yeah, absolutely. And so it's important to remember that even at 4,000, the elderly Wisconsin adult population is a little bit more than a million, right? So what's 4,000 out of a million? I didn't even do that percentage because
not very many.
It is quite small.
Yeah.
And I think it probably speaks to multiple factors. One is that in my research and reporting, we noticed that elder adults tend to underreport feelings of suicidal ideation or depression before, you know, they ultimately commit suicide. And I think that does have to do with, you know, how you're raised, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not even, like, people think it's so long ago where mental health wasn't really talked about. But even when I was growing up, like, among my, like, immigrant community, that wasn't really a thing mm-hmm. until I got a little bit older. And so, you know, just kind of being raised in that vein of, yeah, like, you know, you suck it up, you be a man or a woman, and you right. don't really want to make other people deal with your problems. I think elderly adults especially are very worried about being a burden to people, being a burden on their caregivers, on their family and their friends. So they try and, you know, keep it all inside. I also think access and the way services are centered are a big thing. So, for example, if you walk into, you know, a community help or a community support group and most of the people are 20, just objectively, you're not going to really want to be there. They don't really understand your life experiences, right? Mm-hmm. If the support group leader themselves is also 20, like, no, they wouldn't be 20. They'd be like 30, but...
but you bring a good point. I think all of us, we like to gravitate or talk to people who can relate that might be in our age group.
Absolutely.
More or less. And when you're, you know, even at 55, sometimes you look at somebody behind a desk and they're 20 and you think, do they really get me or not? Mm-hmm. And the reverse is true as well, right?
Absolutely.
So I think that's a really great point. You write in your story, older men tend to kill themselves at 2 times the statewide rate. Any particular reason in your reporting why men are more susceptible to death by suicide?
Yeah, well, men are always more susceptible to death by suicide because they use more violent methods typically, right? So whereas women are typically more prone to attempting suicide through, for example, pills, men will use handguns, and handguns don't have as much of a return rate.
Yeah.
But there's also other underlying factors. Which, again, you know, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but social isolation, you know, Dr. Kenneth Robbins, the geropsychiatrist I interviewed for the article, he did talk about how a lot of older men have, like, spent most of their lives working and haven't been able to develop a really strong set of community connections a lot of the time. And so what happens is, you know, when they retire, when they get these health issues, they don't really have as many people they can turn to and lean on and talk about their issues with. And of course, men have more of this idea of, like, squaring your shoulders and being a man.
Right.
And so that also, I would say, just all these combination of factors, and some which I don't even know, right, because my reporting doesn't cover everything, lead to older men being more likely to violently take their lives.
Srijita Patra from Wisconsin Watch is our guest, talking about her great article at wisconsinwatch.org. A really important article on death by suicide with older Wisconsinites. You're right in there, Srijita, that according to the Wisconsin Department of Health Services, more than half of residents 55 years and older who died by suicide in 2023 had health problems that, quote, appeared to have contributed to their deaths, unquote.
Mm-hmm.
Expand on that a little bit. Was it that they felt they were already going to die, say, by cancer, and it's like, I just don't want to face that, and so they choose suicide or turn to that? Is it more mental health problems that preclude this? Any insight into that?
Well, I think that if you're not physically healthy, you're definitely not going to really want to be around, right? Mm. I mean, chronic health issues, you know, cancer, dementia was a huge one we talked about. You know, the idea that you're going to forget everyone you've ever loved and, you know, how to live and how to, you know, carry out your basic existence, it leads people to be very existential and very depressed. And, you know, obviously I can't speak to everyone, but I do think those combination of factors exacerbate mental health issues and then just ultimately end to people being like, well, I'd rather die than have to go through this or have to be this burden on other people. I did want to answer do you answer live stream questions?
Yeah,
sometimes?
Yeah, go ahead.
John Jed Jorn, I believe, mm-hmm. asked if most of, not that one actually, if it's mostly in cities and rural, and it is much more of a rural problem from our reporting than it is an urban problem.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And when you write your article, older adults in rural Wisconsin face extra challenges. Part of that is just further away from healthcare, fewer resources, I would assume, as well. Is that correct?
Absolutely, yeah.
I think one of the other great things, we got about a minute and a half left. We'll come back and pick it up after we pause. But really interesting, great reporting here. You talked to State Senator Jesse James, a Republican of Thorpe. You also talked to Chris Larson, a Democrat. This appears to be, correct me if I'm wrong, at least an issue that in a bipartisan way the legislature is willing to look at to try to do something about that. Is that accurate or not so much?
Sure. I mean, you know, I think everyone's been touched by this issue. And so a lot of politicians are very aware of this being something that they want to put on their priority list.
Yeah. You write your article, older adults in rural areas often live far away from mental health providers, many of whom don't accept Medicare. They also live far away from family and community. We're going to come back, talk more about this important issue across Wisconsin with Srijita Patra of WisconsinWatch.org. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on the Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. In May, the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that individuals, in this case Native Americans, do not have a private right of action in voting rights cases. An emergency stay was granted July 22nd, and it's likely headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. In 2021, the Turtle Mountain Band of Chippewa Indians, the Spirit Lake Tribe, and individual Native voters negotiated with the state of North Dakota to create voting districts that didn't dilute Native voting power. But after a 2023 Eighth Circuit decision in Arkansas, the state of North Dakota reneged on its deal with the tribes. That decision said only the U.S. Justice Department, not individual voters, could bring suits to enforce the provisions of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. In actuality, since 1965, individuals brought 90% of VRA cases. May 14th, a three-judge panel affirmed that individual voters cannot bring VRA cases, but it applies only in the Eighth Circuit. July 15th, the tribes and individual Native voters asked for an emergency stay from Justice Brett Kavanaugh, pending a full U.S. Supreme Court appeal request. The stay was granted July 16th. On the one hand, decades of precedent allow individuals to bring such VRA cases, but this high court's conservative majority often ignores precedent and seeks ways to neutralize VRA protections for minority voters. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back to the Todd Bowles Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Now, 8 minutes before the hour, 3 o'clock at the top of the hour, ABC, CBS, or James Kelly News, whichever station you're listening to. A check of weather. It could be some rough weather across Wisconsin later on tonight and tomorrow as this heat and humidity continues. The rest of the week looks warm, certainly. And then our sports update with Mike Clemens, who is on the ground at the Packers training camp in Green Bay. Also talking about that Brewers win streak, which is now at 11 games. That's why I have my Brewers jersey on again today. They'll go for number 12 tonight. The Miz on the mound out in Seattle for the Brew Crew. You can hear the game across many of these stations tonight around 8:05. Talking about more of that in hour number two as well. But right now we have a great reporter with us here from Sarjitra Patra from Wisconsin Watch, talking about this really important article at wisconsinwatch.org. I encourage you to go there, read the entire article. It's on older Wisconsinites and having a higher death rate than by suicide than many. I did not know this, and it's really good. Sarjitra, talk about Earl, who is the main person as you kind of focus and tell us this story you're reporting through one person, which is so well done.
Well, thank you, first off. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Earl, so the process for, obviously we knew the heart of this story had to be someone who's affected by the issue, right? Whether family, friends, or what I preferred was someone who actually dealt with this. And it was definitely hard to, you know, kind of find an older adult who was willing to talk. Mm-hmm. And specifically, I contacted so many people during this process looking for sources. But what ended up happening, and I'm so grateful to everyone at NAMI, and specifically NAMI Chippewa Valley, they got me in contact with Earl, who had been wanting to kind of like talk to someone to further like kind of get through this process where he really wanted to get through to the other side of his mental health. And so that was kind of the start. He was lovely to talk to. I mean, he was very, very open. And, you know, obviously I tried to make him as comfortable as I could, but most of the credit goes to him. I mean, he was really wonderful, and he just very well-spoken and, you know, kind of laid it out, like, his life experiences for me. And I was just very grateful to have that conversation because, again, that the issue specifically of, like, elderly and mental health hadn't touched me before. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not older, and, you know, my family members haven't, you know, dealt with suicidal ideation from what I know. And so it was definitely very impactful to be able to talk to him.
Very courageous of him. Always takes someone to speak out to help others. So many thanks to Earl Lowry for allowing you to tell his story. I think it's really impactful. About 4 minutes left here. We'll make sure we get a couple of things in. Number one, talk to us briefly. We're not going to have enough time to get deep into it. But this last budget just passed, the bipartisan budget legislature signed into law by Governor Tony Evers. Enough, I shouldn't say it that way. What are the benefits of this budget, and where did it come up short when it comes to addressing this issue of mental health, in particular in the more senior community in Wisconsin?
Well, so there is no legislation specifically geared toward geriatric mental health, and that's not something I say to be pessimistic, but it's just a fact, right? Mm-hmm. We mentioned that there was a line item in the budget that would have provided funding for the geropsychiatric ward at the Mendota Mental Health Institute of Madison, but that was axed, I believe. And so what we have left are some general solutions that could be very helpful to different elderly populations in the state. One is, the biggest one I think of is the bills co-authored by Senator Jesse James and the Representative Clint Moses relating to Chippewa Valley and further mental health services in that area. Obviously, again, that's for everyone. It's not just for elderly people. But again, in Chippewa Valley has a significantly higher age-adjusted suicide rate than the total of Wisconsin. And so
was there any reason, not to interrupt, but is any did you find in your reporting any particular reason for that?
I think probably the loss of the hospitals couldn't have helped, but it was probably a problem before that as well. And so I would say most likely, I mean, I know the reasons that it applies to rural communities, but yeah, I don't know specifically for Chippewa Valley why that is, if anyone knows.
Well, I think to your point, though, and Pat Kreitlow, our colleague on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, who does his show from that area, Lake Wissota, he's talked, his wife happens to be an OBGYN, and certainly that part of the state, that region, because of cuts, because of lack of funding and other issues, there is a real dearth of healthcare services. We tend to think physical, but we forget this very important part about mental health services as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And so, I mean, that was probably one of the bigger budget wins, was kind of being able to put that funding in the budget bipartisanly.
Well, let's talk for the couple minutes we have left here. Solutions, finding community is so important.
Yeah, I think it's the essence of what we're looking at here. I mean, I know I mentioned Newbridge, which is a service specifically geared towards community and elder adults. And I mean, I think that's probably the component of it because, you know, when you have issues, I think at any age, you know, kind of isolation and silence is what's going to drive that, right? You kind of just stick it to yourself. But if you have other people who are like you, who understand where you're coming from, and you can make friends with and you can talk to, I mean, I think that really is one of the most crucial steps towards this whole thing.
1 minute left. What have I not asked you want people to know?
Oh, that's a good one.
What's the biggest takeaway from the story that you wrote?
The biggest takeaway from this story, I take too long to think, so I'm hoping I'm not going to bust this. But, you know, I think the biggest takeaway, honestly, is that it's so important to fund these services and work for collective solutions. And I think actually the biggest takeaway is something that Kathleen Pater said. She's I think like the head, you know, therapist or like kind of the head of medical services at Newbridge, is she said that like there really needs to be a community shift towards viewing elder adults as, you know, these like these people of like experience and, you know, people with so much life advice and wisdom to give, rather than kind of isolating them and leaving them forgotten with the passage of time, because that's going to be you one day.
Srijita Patra of WisconsinWatch.org, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for
writing this
really, really important story. Again, if you or someone you know needs help, the number to call or text 988-988. Someone is standing by 24 hours a day to talk with you. And also in this story, all kinds of great links for help as well. Thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Our pleasure. Come on back. Hour number two is straight ahead. What's worse, a breakfast edition and more.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. As calls mount for the Justice Department to release all the Jeffrey Epstein files, a House panel now approved a motion for the GOP chair to subpoena Epstein's co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell. Now the DOJ is also pushing to talk with Maxwell.
It's a stunning announcement from the number two in the Justice Department, who previously served as Donald Trump's defense attorney. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche now says he hopes to meet with Ghislaine Maxwell to see if she believes anyone else should be prosecuted. Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's former girlfriend, is currently serving a 20-year prison sentence, and she's the only person other than him to ever be charged with sex trafficking. In a statement earlier this month, the DOJ and FBI said they'd seen no evidence implicating anyone else.
ABC Stephen Portnoy. Severe heat impacting millions across the U.S. this week with dangerous temperatures and humidity in the Midwest and South. Black Sabbath frontman Ozzy Osbourne has died. His family says the British rocker passed away surrounded by love. Ozzy Osbourne was 76. This is ABC News.